Rogers, Ken Loudhawk, Russ Redner, and Kamook Banks is due to begin. Earlier this year, in March, humorist Dick Gregory spoke in Portland at a benefit for the AIM Offense Defense Committee. Introducing Gregory is Ellen Mooskamp of Pine Ridge, South Dakota.
Honoring song that we always sing, and that would be the AIM song. Niho mangata kinkashila, tati topakia, onchima kantakia, ahituampo, leho yopaze ki ahiake chuha, lechel unshia, hokshilea waki pama nipka. Kashla won shila no woke uyak obwachie. Mitakwe leno ob tokata zani ammoniuk tahechi hechichi. Kashla iwachin chiape. Mitakwe asi. Now we will have the AIM song, and I'd like to have you all remain standing. It's a great honor for us tonight to be here, and it's good to see all you people here. We appreciate your coming, but we are very honored to have one of our brothers with us here who is going to talk to you people, and that is our brother Dick Gregory. I'll turn the floor over to him.
Okay, right? No, I got David, I'm working with him. Oh! All right. You got bad, huh?
And Mike.
I'll bring the bad mic.
Right.
Damn, you charge somebody $50,000 for a benefit, everything work right. Do a freebie and they can't get the place. Okay, they got it working. Y'all can hear up there now, right? They got it, okay. That's it. We knew. Let me just quit the humor. Let me get down to what we're here for. Let me say good evening, and it's a pleasure to be here. And it's always nice to see my good buddy, Brother Walton, and we had a good night tonight. And always good. Stand up, let folks. Stand up, my lady. He's upset the whole. And you know, long time, and maybe years from now when it's all over, maybe they'll talk about the value of you. But you did something that was different. That it's okay to be a celebrity as long as you mind your own business and make your money and live up on the big house and go through all them old fashions and go through all them old funny games. But when you start reaching back out here trying to relate with this thing, you get, a lot of people get upset. And there's a whole lot of people that's upset with you. There's a whole lot of folks out here that love you. And that's what we want you to know. That's right. That's what we want you to know. And let me say to my Indian brothers and sisters that I'm sorry that we have to come here under these circumstances, but I'm glad that I'm able, and I'm glad that I'm aware, and I'm glad that a long time ago in the state of Washington, some Indians was hip enough to come and get me involved, and I started seeing some things and finding out some things that I didn't know. And just let me say that there's a lot of problems that exist in America today. And I say to all of you sitting here, it's easy for us to sit and say the Indians got some problems. Niggas got some problems. Chicanos, Puerto Ricans, and women got some problems. You white folk got some problems. And the sooner that the masses of the white folks in America will understand to that handful of super rich, rich aristocrats that run the whole thing, you ain't nothing but Indians and niggas to them. The sooner you understand that. And that same Indian that they put up on a reservation, they put niggas on reservations. The only difference between niggas and Indians, you Indians know you on one, we don't. Niggas on a reservation, ghetto ain't nothing but a reservation. Niggas running around talking about, I'm free, you better not get off that reservation. And you white folks is on a reservation in a little jive white neighborhood you live in. The only thing you got going for you cross country, niggas can't live there. A Rockefeller wouldn't walk his dog through that scroungy neighborhood. DuPont wouldn't wash their feet in the pot you white folks eat out of. And if you don't think what I'm saying is true, you white folks try to walk in Rockefeller's neighborhood. You get within a 5 mile radius, they bust your brains out. Just be driving in this home of the free and land of the brave and just get on the wrong road and get to going up one of them roads where them super rich live. And what I'm trying to say is the sooner that we realize what happens to one happens to all. And the sooner we can deal with that and relate with that, what happens to Indians' children today happen to black folks' children tomorrow, happen to white folks' kids next month. Because the people that run this thing don't care nothing about none of us. You can see it. I mean, if you think it's just an isolated incident where you read where all at once the government is forced to admit that they took 600 black men in Alabama and injected syphilis into their veins under the false pretense that they was at a health center and they was giving them stuff that would help them. And what they intended to do was watch him die and study the autopsy. And 40 years after they discovered penicillin, they had never treated not one of them niggas with penicillin. Now, if you're stupid enough to believe that just some isolated incident, well, they'll just inject that into black folks. Now, that's just part of it, baby. The same thing they'll put in my arm at close range, they're putting you white folks drinking water at long range. One day you'd be surprised when you turn around and find out the different stuff they've tested in your drinking water across this country. And it is no accident in America today that 93% of all the public drinking water in this country is unfit for human consumption. And if you're stupid enough to believe that when they put red dye number 2 in your food, they didn't know before they put it in it what effect it was going to have on your body. And the one thing these super degenerate pimps got going for themselves is not them, it's you, your ignorance. Your ability to know everything but what you should know. And in America, we run around and call ourselves the most educated, the most sophisticated, the most hippest group of people in the world, and basically we ain't number food. And now after a handful of people fought them and made them take out red dye number 2, they replaced it with red dye number 40, which is just as bad. But that's okay, because most of y'all don't know what red dye number 2 was. And it's very, very important that we in America understand this. Last week, they just busted Johnson & Johnson about that baby powder. Did y'all read that? Because Johnson & Johnson's baby powder is causing cancer. Now, are you stupid enough to believe that Johnson & Johnson, they got some of the slickest scientists, the slickest hippest researchers that ever been produced in this world, didn't know that baby powder had glass in it? Hell, they hadn't put a glass in it. Now, all at once, now they're after, oh, we didn't know. They don't care about your baby. And it's one thing for you to think America don't care about Indian babies and Chicano babies and Puerto Rican. They don't care about no baby in this country. And I say to you again, if you sit back and let them do it to one, you next. And if you don't believe it, just look at what black folks. America sit back and let everything happen here. We let it happen to Indians. Next thing you know, it happens to us. White folks let it happen to us. Next thing you know, it happens to you. Because had the university brotherhood and sisterhood been outraged when they ran the military onto the black college campuses in Orangeburg, South Carolina, and had they been outraged when they ran the military and the police started shooting at Jackson State and Jackson, Mississippi, had Americans been outraged over that, they wouldn't have dared roll them big guns up at Kent University, baby. I'm fairly good now. Black folks got ready to deal with this thing 50 years ago. They ran that big gun through my neighborhood and say, be cool, nigga. When white college kids got to deal with this thing 10 years ago, they ran the military up to Kent University and shot you down like dogs and say, be cool, nigga. 50 years ago, when black folks got ready to deal with this thing, the reefer man, the heroin man, the cocaine man showed up in my neighborhood and everybody could find him but the police. 10 years ago, when you young white kids got ready to deal with this thing, the same reefer man and heroin man and cocaine man showed up in your white neighborhood with speed, pep pill, and LSD, and everybody can find them out there in the suburbs except the police. This country's in bad shape now. America done gone stone crazy. New York City get broke, and they ask Ford to come to their aid, and Ford not only say, I'm not going to give you no money, he talked nasty to them. Well, we know one thing, if the Russians came over here in the morning and asked Ford for $1 billion to keep Moscow from going bankrupt, they wouldn't only get it, you wouldn't find out nothing about it until Jack Anderson told you. And for some crazy reason, the way we sit and let them manipulate us, they manipulate us from time we get up in the morning to time we go to bed at night. And they manipulate you while you sleep. And they got this old game they play, especially with you white folks, this communist game, and watch out for the communists. I never seen nothing like you white folks in America running around scared of communists. Communists didn't put red dye number 2 in your food, fool. I just don't understand. I don't understand this mad obsession. As long as the communists don't do it, it's okay. We in America would never permit the communists to smuggle in enough drugs in this country to turn on a whole generation of kids. But as long as they not doing it, that's cool. You want to wipe out the mafia syndicate hooligans in the morning? Let's spread the rumor that they're communist control. They wipe them out in a week. You young white kids, y'all got a big job. Boy, they fixing to close this thing down on you. They ain't never seen no white folks like you. Oh, you white folks can start scaring white folks. They ain't never seen nobody, but we supposed to be fighting us a war right now to get our economy together. The only reason we ain't fighting the war, you young white kids don't fight wars no more. Y'all lovers, meditators, TMers. Hell, we could have been in Vietnam another 15 more years and kept everybody working, but you white kids instead of going to Vietnam, you went to Canada. One thing they've always been able to do is been able to manipulate white mentality. They can keep a war going. Whatever they get ready to do is wave a flag and play some marching tunes, and you run to East Helen back trying to kill somebody. All at once, you saying no more. First, what you got to do, you have to understand what this country's all about. Oh, we can sit around, we can talk about the government is using behavior modification, and they can catch people and run all kind of electrical things down on you, run kind of things down on you. They get you in mental hospitals, they do all kind of things. I'm not worried about that type of behavior modification. I'm worried about that type they can run down on all of us, and most of us don't even know it. They manipulate our head from time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night. And there's three ways they do the control. The fashion industry, they got to have control of that. Advertising industry, they got to have control of that. And the movie industry. And that's all they need. And it ain't no accident, the fashion industry, whenever they get ready to run in a new game, they just run the fashion folks in. How many of y'all in this room is aware of the fact that Brazil banned jockey shorts about 18 months ago and them tight pants? Any of y'all in the room know that? Yeah, banned them, wipe them out. Because they finally woke up to the fact that jockey shorts and tight pants ain't nothing but a conspiracy. They don't do nothing but sterilize the male. And most males, we don't know nothing about it because we don't know that much about our body. We know about an automobile. But we don't know that the sperms live in our testicles at a temperature 2 degrees below your body. And when your body get hot, your testicles hang down. When it get cold, your testicles pull up. Jockey shorts don't permit that movement. And they knew that before they put them out here on the market for you. They don't worry about themselves. They count on your ignorance. And as long as they can deal with that, they ain't got nothing to worry about. They know when they run them televisions through. Why you think the poorest people in this land can get all the television sets they want to get? Ain't no problem poor folk getting television sets. They need that in your house. Movies and television, it's not for your entertainment, it's for your manipulation. Lie to you. Keep that game running down on you. They know what that means. They've studied animals. They know when they can do that to you, you start liking the people that hate you and hate the people that like you. It happens in jail all the time. You could put me in jail at night and put me in solitary confinement. And you can send your guard around to see me 3 times a day, and after I sit there for so long, my mind gets to acting funny and I start relating with the guard. And I start liking the guard and the things that the guard like and rejecting you, the people that love me, and the things that you like. And that's evidence in America today. It's evidence in the black community, the people that hate us the most, we admire the most. People that love us, we don't think that much about because the game is won, they wiped out our heads. I see it every day in the black community, and it happens all over America. My woman can relate more with the bill collector than she can relate with me. Because when that system wipes your brains out, you start loving the people that hate you and hate the people that love you. And it's a simple thing. Just imagine we got a box sitting here now, and everything in the box have no control over what goes on inside the box. We do. We control the weather. We control the food. We control the movies. We control the fashions. We control the water. We control the education, then everything happens inside the box we're responsible for, not the people inside the box. And that's all this country's all about. They got Indians over here and a group controlling them, and then outside of that they got niggers and Chicanos and Puerto Ricans and Asian Americans, and then the last box out here, which gets controlled by all of it, is white folks. They manipulate the whole thing. And I say to you black folks in America, the sooner that we can sit back and understand that we part of this stinking, slimy, degenerate, white, racist system, the sooner we can get our thing together. It is no accident in America. It is no accident that we black folks in America have the largest amount of homes with no man in the house than any race of people on this planet. That's no accident. And that's not our fault. That's a well-planned conspiracy. And it goes deeper than the black man is unemployed. Because in New Delhi, that Indian father's unemployed, but he don't run away from home. In Nairobi, that African father's unemployed, but he don't run away from home. Why do we have that home situation in the black community? And I'm not one of these niggas that believe a man got to be at home for you to survive. That's a bunch of bunk. Now, Jack the Ripper had a mother and father at home. Babyface Nelson, Pretty Boy Floyd had mothers and fathers at home. Jesse and Frank James had mothers and fathers at home. Nixon and all them Watergate pimps didn't come out no broken home. So why, because a father at home don't help them, why it's supposed to help me? But we got to one day sit down and say, why do black American men leave home? And once you understand that, then maybe we can start off down here changing things. But America, from the time you get big, manipulate your head to walk this, walk that. I got to have this, and I got to have that, and I need this, and I need that. And before you know it, your whole psyche is keyed to property, keyed to trinkets. Black men, when they're hitting on their legs, say, baby, me and you, I'll get you everything. And she said, yeah, daddy, I sure want it. Because America got all Americans believing that everything you want, you're supposed to have, and everything they got out here for you, you're supposed to get. It's just one trick. This white racist system blocked the male man from the type of jobs he needs to get those things for his lady. So I end up with all the aspirations. My lady ends up with all the aspirations, but they don't give me the means to get it with. So I end up with no job, and she ends up still wanting and wanting. And that's the difference between me being unemployed in America in my black house and a dude in Nairobi being unemployed. My woman have been keyed to want this and want that and embarrass and alienates me. So I split. That's what's going on. Somewhere down the line, when we black folks in America understand, and understand quick that this white racist system means us too. And the day is over when we look back at a white racist system and believe that that's just white folks. Understand one thing, baby, white racist people in a white racist system is two different things. White racist people don't bother me. A white racist system then run me crazy. They manipulated my head. I got 10 kids at home, and not once did I go to bed to have one of them kids. That's a hell of a thing. You're born with the ability to create new life. Makes no difference how white or how black or how rich or how poor, you still have this ability, and I was born with that ability. And the system that made me be so disrespectful, I got 10 kids, and not once did I go to bed with the intentions of having them kids. But I ain't never owned an automobile that I didn't sit up in advance and decide the year, the make, the model, what the down payment was going to be, and how much the notes was. Listen to me good. Anytime a system can wipe your head out so bad, you put in more planning to own an automobile than to reproduce nature's new life, then the game's over, baby. And the sooner we in this country understand what America is all about and what a handful of rich, rich, elite aristocrats is doing to the mentality and what television is all about and what them movies is all about, never will we be able to switch this thing around. I say you got a black big job. And we black folks in America must understand we part of this white racist system. And you black folks that don't understand that, you're crazy. You're stupid enough to believe you can be born and raised in America or live in this country 3 to 5 years and not be part of this white racist system. And I say to you black folks in America, understand one thing. There's more to being black than balling up your fist and napping up your hair and talking slick out the side of your mouth. And if you don't believe that, go to Africa and get around some real black folks and you find out we ain't nothing but chocolate-covered white folks. We think white. We act white, we talk white. White folks in America got nerve enough to laugh at the way niggas talk. Niggas been laughing the way you white folk talk for 100 years. Because we talk bad because we learn our English from you. You first brought me over here on the big boat, I wasn't speaking none but pure Swahili. Till that dumb ignorant white boy looked at me one day and said, go over yonder and get that bell cotton, bring it over yonder. And if you white folks in America think you speak English, you ought to go to England and listen to them. They don't know nothing about no gosh. You think you speak English, you ought to go to England and go over there. They don't know what nookie is. And I say to you black folks, the sooner we wake up and realize that we're part of this white racist system, the sooner we can stop believing that when I get in my house and close my door, white racism is shut out. White racism came in with you, baby. White racism go to bed with you. White racism talks to your family, your kids, and your loved one with you. And until we can understand that, the dude got his white power. Everything white folks like, niggas like. Everything white folks hate, niggas hate. That's why 98% of all black folks that got killed in America last year was killed by black folks. Because we hate the same thing white folks hate, niggas. And I really can't understand most of you white folks in America. I can't understand how white folks can be so scared of niggas. How you gonna be scared of me? We ain't got no army. Niggas ain't got no Air Force Academy. We ain't got no Navy. Five niggas stand on the street corner. White folks get upset and want to call the police. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, five niggas get on the street corner, niggas get upset and call the police. So somewhere down the line, we got to look at this whole thing. Somewhere down the line, you got to understand what happened. And it ain't no accident why they started wiping out Indians today. Whenever you flex your muscles, as long as you run around with your makeup on and your feather in your head, walk around talking like Tonto, you cool. The minute you start talking about serious getting down to your rights, then they're gonna run back and get that gun. And you women in the women's liberation movement, you better study the pages of black folks, because they're gonna do the same thing to you they're doing us. Oh, as long as they thought all niggas was out here fighting for was the right to eat a Big Mac burger and to pee in the white toilet. Oh, we were just, oh, aren't they beautiful? Look at them. They're just so, look at them fighting for their rights. Wonderful. Yes. Hi there. Hi, guy. Hi. Yes, you lovely, lovely fellows. Yes, yes. We shall overcome. Hi, isn't that a lovely song, isn't it, dear? We shall overcome. But once they found out niggas was marching past the Big Mac burger, getting to get downtown to get that job, to get my hand on the money. Oh, they said, well, my God, what's wrong with us? Yeah, be honest with you. America can't trick nobody on this planet no more but Americans. America can't trick nobody. That nigga game don't work nowhere but at home. George Wallace proved that when he went to Europe. Dr. England, Harold Wilson wouldn't even take a picture with him. They invented racism over there. He left there and went to Rome, and the Pope wouldn't even meet him. And the Pope's on the only Pope meet everybody. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, anybody come over there with a group meet the Pope. Yeah, America can't trick nobody but America. Put us in a gasoline trick and blamed it on the Arabs, and we so dumb and ignorant, we thought the Arabs did it. The Arabs control our faith in destiny. Come on, the Arabs don't control their own faith and destiny. And every time one of them think they do, the CIA put a pistol on like they did King Faisal and blow their brains out. And until the Arabs, until those Arabs nationalize the oil field, the deal is the American oil companies control 70%, the Arabs control 30%. And it was the Americans put you in the oil trick. And I don't even know how the trick worked. We all went to bed one weekend with no bed. Woke up Monday morning and it was gone. I mean, did anybody leave their motors on that weekend? And the only reason gasoline is not costing you $1.75 a gallon right now is they overstayed. from this time we wake up in the morning, the time we go to bed at night. Trick, 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 trick. And y'all better understand that Angola thing, too. That's big. That African thing, that, ooh, that's big. Yeah. You know, once you understand Angola and once you understand Africa, then you can understand how the super rich play games with you. They tell you who to like and tell you who not to like. And please understand one thing. They was not talking about liberating folks in Angola. Nobody care about no niggas being liberated. They was talking about diamonds. That's what the fight was all about. And when the Western side lost, that's why the British pound went up, fell below $2. And Harold Wilson got so scared, he just quit. I don't want the job. Queen Elizabeth, I don't want the job. Take it, please take it. Don't let me. They tried their best to hang in there. Yeah, they sent them mercenaries in. And you see, the sooner you start understanding this thing, the better off you'll think of it. So I say to you tonight that what's happening in this country today, we can stop. We can't stop it with money. And little benefits like this here, oh, it raises some money, but it ain't your money that's going to turn this thing. If you come here and give $10 million and don't get your conscience level raised, then we're in trouble. That's what we have to have. It's the only thing that America can't deal with. America can deal with your money. America can deal with your guns. America can deal with your violence. The one thing America can't deal with is an honest, ethical, moral force. That just wipes this country out. And once you can handle that, once you can deal with that, and I know that's the only way I survive. I ain't survived by making a whole lot of money. They could get my money anytime they want. The only reason this country can't kill me, and they tried 24 hours a day, and some of you pimps in here now with the government that got to watch me everywhere I go, ain't gonna do no good, because you'd be better off killing your mammy than trying to kill me. And those of you that got to follow me every night, you know what I'm talking about, especially San Diego last week. But if you had on your side looking for me what I got on my side looking for you, I'd have surrendered a long time ago. That's right. Long time ago. That's right. See, I've got something you can't kill. It's called truth, called honesty, called integrity, called a universal force that gives me so much protection. Y'all would be better off trying to crawl up on a ladder and knock the sun out the sky than just disturb one little blade of hair in my head. And all that old crazy talk y'all talking about what you gonna do to my kids, I pay you to take them oldest too. Serious. But I say to you tonight, it's serious business. They fixing to close this thing down. We living today in one of the darndest food crises in the history of this country. And we sit back and we talked about what Hitler did in Nazi Germany right before that thing. Same thing's happening here. They've looked around now and decided we got too many people in this country. They don't need y'all no more. They look around now and everybody's Indians. Everybody's niggas. Everybody's Chicanos. Everybody's Puerto Ricans. Everybody's there. And they're going to close it down if you're not careful. And they're tightening up this food thing every day. And last year, we felt something in the back of our head, and people rushed out to plant gardens, and they never planted gardens before. The trucks are in the backyard, harvest our gardens, and got ready to tan them. And America say, ain't got no lids for your tanning.
Toilet, you have to change and go over here to the reservoir and get the drink off.
survived. Maybe our Indian brothers and sisters, maybe that's what all that suffering was all about. Maybe you fixing to get it now. Because I know when the food run out at Kroger's, I don't know where I'm going to get mine, but they ain't never put no Kroger's on the reservation. I don't know what I'm going to do when the water get dirty and they can't purify it, but they ain't never cared about y'all's water being clean on the way. You had to find clean water on your own. Y'all keep your eye on this thing. They're ready to close it down and they can move. And when that airport blew up in New York City, we knew then the government blew it up so they could get the right to search your bags. And last Saturday, if y'all get the paper on Saturday, when they slip all that stuff through, the new law went through as of the 15th of April, all bags that go underneath the plane gonna have to be searched. That's what they wanted in the first place. They got you searched upstairs, now they want the right to search you downstairs. And they can do it. Also, last Saturday week, did y'all read where they're going to cut back the mail service in 24 cities? Did y'all read that? If you was head of the Postal Union, what would you do now? Still on a strike, right? And if you went out on a strike and couldn't nobody get no mail in America, and we got to get our mail, we get our money, what are we going to say? Give me my mail. They already did a dry run in New York City. They went out on a strike. The military gave the mail. Postal workers go out on strike, these soldiers live in the mail. Got a 12-mile area of Denver outside of L.A. where the government, the military, been studying postal routes across the country for the last 3 years. All right. So then the soldiers start getting the mail every day. You see soldiers on the corner. You don't see nothing suspicious about that. One day it happens. And then you come home, you don't see a soldier on the corner. They be in your house. They come in. They have a trip to you. Get on the truck. Big job. I don't believe it's too late. Until we black folks in America that really believe have nobody suffered like us, no. We got to move over. The Indian is probably fighting for their very survival right now. And we got to start changing this thing. We got to change all these lies. You know, I really feel sorry for you Indians that sit in these schools and read this old Jive American history book, and you know the true history. But you got to read this lie. You probably knew what St. Louis was called before it was even St. Louis. But you got to read all this trick history about how they came to these shores and discovered America. How do you discover a country that's already occupied? You know? Think about that. That's like me walking out of here tonight, discovering your car in the parking lot with you in it. All right, why you move over? I'll just discover this. So, what you gonna do with me? That's it, old man. Teach me Thanksgiving. If I teach you Thanksgiving, what you gonna do? You gonna kill me? No, I'm gonna put you in the trunk, better known as the reservation. Y'all got a big job. It is very important that we understand what's going down in this country today. I mean, it's just unbelievable that they let us all know about Wounded Knee, but then when they got ready to close that thing down and run that game down, it's almost 300 people been killed at Wounded Knee since they left there, and few people know about them. And somewhere down the line, and we got to say to America, we're not going to tolerate it no more. And somewhere down the line, we're going to have to find out what they're doing to our Indian brothers and sisters. I mean, it's just unbelievable that if I steal a car in Portland, Oregon tonight, as long as I don't go across state lines, I have not committed a federal crime. But if an Indian steals a car tonight in Portland, Oregon, it makes no difference where they go, that's a federal crime. And instantly, the FBI and the whole federal government moves in on that case. Somewhere down the line, we got to understand that. Somewhere down the line, we got to understand that if they had laws aimed at black folks like they got laws aimed at Indians, the civil rights movement never would have got off the ground. Never would have got off the ground. Hey, there's some niggas sitting up there saying they do. That's because you don't know, baby. That's because you don't know. And if you've been out here dealing with this movement from one end of this country to the other, you'd have never made an ignorant ass statement like that. They do. Look, nigga, there's few niggas in this country that put as much on the line for niggas as I have, so I don't have to come up here and let some old ignorant nigga like you tell me what's going on. I wouldn't sit here and lie on you. I love you, nigga. I got 10 niggas here. Must be crazy. I got 10 kids at home, man. What the hell you think I'm gonna sit up here and say they treating Indians better than they treating niggas or worse if I'm not? Come up here to lie to you. I come up here to tell you the truth, and that's what I tried to tell you before. You can't deal with it. Same way Rockefeller and DuPont be yelling out now. The only difference is they would know better. Let me tell you something. They got a long book that said they sent Indian kids in any school they see fit. And I don't know what my reaction would have been in America if they had a right to send hundreds of black kids to Mississippi, Oklahoma, or California. And that one law alone is more vicious than all they got in front of us. Because people's talking about the kids, man. And that means when your child, 5 years old, is that law, black folks, if you got out here in this movement or was sitting in this room tonight at this rally, they didn't like it. Come September, your kids will be sent to Kansas school. Think about that. I don't know if you got your kids now, but yeah, go on, look at them now. Think about a law so vicious you snatch those kids away from you and be legal. Then you start understanding the little giant, fine laws that they got. They can just move in and just care about everybody. And that's what the Indians got to deal with. It's fine. You and I stole a part of life, that's a secret. And if we ever got prosecutors who tried to give us a federal job, no federal job said, as long as you have not committed a federal crime, you can get a job. An Indian takes that federal rap. Same job me and you can get from committing one crime, an Indian takes it. Then we start understanding these vicious type of laws. Then we start understanding that they're talking about destruction. And this is why I say it is very important that we understand that. Because that's the next move that's going to be made. They do it over here first, and they do it here, then they do it here, and the next thing you know, they do it to everybody. And somewhere down the line, I say to you, it is important that we come together. It's important that we understand the hurt that goes on in this country. It's understand that we understand that here's a group of people that owned America. Another group that came and stole it and hustled it and pimped it, polluted the air, polluted the water, and do all kind of weird things. And when the original owners just say, hey, you wrote up some treaties with me, just live up to them, and they run through and want to kill you and wipe you out. Some kind of way, we got to say that we're not going to tolerate it no more. In some type of way, we have to say to America that your day is over. And America runs around now talking about celebrating the 200th birthday and spent $2 billion trying to celebrate the bicentennial, and all they had to do was talk about, you know, dealing with oppressed people. Let's look into what we've done to our Indian brothers and sisters for 200 years, but they ain't thinking about doing nothing meaningful. They're talking about coming up with a big firecracker. That's where they want to celebrate their birthday. And somewhere down the line, we can say to America that we're not going to tolerate it. And somewhere down the line, once we stand up and say to America that your day is over, can you imagine 6% of the American people control 97% of the wealth but only pay 19% of the income tax? And out of that 6%, it's about 26 or 27 families that control 90% of that? And that is that handful of families that run this whole country. Well, I've already put them on notice. They don't run me no more. Now, I don't know what y'all gonna do, but they ain't running me no more. That's right, right? They ain't not running me no more. That's right. So all that old mess they coming up with, they can't use it on me. They keep your cornflakes. Give me no cornflakes. I know what's wrong with that. Somewhere down the line, that when we sit and say to this handful of people that manipulate us, I don't want to watch your television no more. I don't want to see your movies no more. I don't want to get caught up in your advertising game no more. All I want is to find me, because when I find me and understand me, you're in trouble. And believe me when I tell you that. We sit here tonight and they open up the meeting with a prayer. And up until last year, I didn't know nothing about prayer. I always thought prayers was something punkish, because every wrongdoing nigga I knew prayed. And I got into some prayers last summer, some fasting and praying, and I found out there's just one thing on this planet that's stronger than prayers, and that's love. But I ain't talking about that old kind of Hollywood love. I love you, baby. How much you love me? I love you so much I'll kill you if you mess up. I'm talking about that universal love. And I beg you as I leave you tonight to understand how strong you are and understand who you are. It's very important. Every second we sit here, every minute we sit here, billions of cells is reproduced in your body. Chase Manhattan Bank cannot produce one cell. All the super rich with all that viciousness and all them big guns, they can't produce one toenail or one fingernail. Mine grow so much I cut them off, throw them away. So I know something I found out last summer for the first time, that I'm not only the strongest thing in the universe, I am the universe. I am the universe. And once we understand that, once we understand who we are, then they can't deal with us. All these super degenerate pips that manipulate folks, once you find out you are the universe, it makes about as much sense as them trying to do something to you as trying to knock a star out the sky. And so I say to you, it's awful what's fixing to happen in this country. I see it. I've been looking at it. I get a lot of them folks come up and say, hey, man, why don't you get, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay right here. Because I understand some things today I wouldn't have understood had I not been Dick Gregory. And I understand some things today because I come up in a kind of way where my mother kept talking to me. And when I broke through here and I became a celebrity and I became the first black comedian to work white nightclubs, through my background, through coming up, I knew why I did it. And I kept reading the papers and they talk about the most brilliant mind, the most brilliant comedy mind to come out of the black, that wasn't right, that wasn't true. They've had niggas down through the years been smarter than me. It was a white racist system that kept them out them white nightclubs. Then they want to play me up all at once like my mind was so good, but if they could make me believe, make you believe I had such a brilliant mind, they didn't say the rest of the niggas didn't make fun of me. And then white racist man, nothing to do with it. But it's just like someone saying over here at this door, what a machine gun. We run through one at a time, they kill us all. If all of us rush the door, a whole lot of us are going to get killed. And that's how Dick Gregory got through and became a celebrity. That's how Dick Gregory got through and made it in the white nightclub. There's a whole lot of niggas rushing that door, and I was just one of the niggas that got through. It wasn't out the love of America's heart, or it wasn't because they, oh, what a brilliant mind. And I remembered that. And I understood why I got through. And the only way I could pay all them people that got wiped out so I could jump through the door is I had to get involved. And in the process of getting involved, I'm able to see what they're fixing to do. And in the process of being able to do that, I was able to reach inside and I was able to find myself. And I can understand why we do the things we do. Hell, I used to drink a fifth of scotch every day, smoke four packs of cigarettes every day. Even after they told me cigarettes cause cancer, I couldn't stop smoking because my super subconscious was telling me, you're in a death syndrome and nigga, they're fixing to kill you. But after I found out who I was, baby, and now I realized they can't kill me, I don't have to smoke no more. I don't need no alcohol. I don't need no crutches. I don't need all them old false hookups that they give me on the outside. I know what the true thing is now. Now all I ask you is just to understand this. And when you leave here tonight, go back and find 10 other people and explain to them what's going on in America. That our Indian brothers and sisters, they need us. They are fighting for their very survival. And if we can turn this one around, we might can turn them all around. And I say to you Indians in the house, and it's a hard fight, and it's going to get harder. And we out here that's oppressed and suffering, we need you to make the move that you're making. Because every time they do things to you with the news media and the world watching the way they're watching, it gets them off a whole lot of other people's back. And I just want you to know that maybe you'll end up with all of it soon. Maybe when this mess come down, maybe all those black folks be run up on the reservation. Talking about me friend. We got no food down there. Kroger's burnt down. We ain't got no pure water. Where you get your drink? Did y'all give out a little, did y'all get tickets to come in tonight? Did you give you tickets?
Yeah.
Did y'all got stubs? Y'all better keep them. That might be your way up on the reservation. Hey, me friend, I showed up at Benefit. I was with you. And so I say to you tonight as I leave you, that it's enough decent people in America to turn this whole thing around. It's just a few corrupt, degenerate, insane pimps. But it's enough of us. But you got to understand that we got to wrestle with them and get our head back. We got to wrestle with them and get our thoughts back. And that whole game they run down on us is no accident. And once we can turn that around, things start changing. And so I beg you tonight, when you leave here, this is a good day to be at this type of rallies. The spring just came in. That means there's something new in the air. That means that things have started growing and new life and germination have just started. I woke up this morning back east on the East Coast. Spring came in at 6:50. And I woke up this morning at 6:50 and walked outside and I heard strange things in the air this morning I didn't hear yesterday morning. I heard birds singing little funny songs this morning I didn't hear yesterday morning. I saw little insects flying around. I looked down and I saw the flowers being pollinated. And I said, oh, it's a new day today. And I hope that tonight we can leave here with our brains pollinated. And with this new germ, that we can go and we can plant this seed and say to America that we're not going to tolerate it no more. And all you beautiful lawyers that have laid here and fought this hard fight, the fight under odds that nobody's ever had to fight on. But I hope you understand that we need you, and we know you get tired, and we don't want you to get too tired and too overtired. We want you to take a rest every now and then, but come back with your body's charged. To all the parents of the Indians that's in jail under false pretenses, in jail because when it comes to Indians, we don't believe that you have to have a fair trial. But yet if mafia syndicate hoodlums got busted in Chicago tonight, everybody in America would no doubt be that they should have a fair trial. And so I just say to you here in this state that there's a lot of awful things that's happening to Indians. There's a lot of awful things that they're fixing to do to Indians. But as long as you organize and stay together and say to this state, we're not going to tolerate it. We're not going to tolerate it. You got a trial coming up here now. They're not about to have that trial in this state at the same time you got your primary on if enough people get upset about it. If enough people get upset about it. And so I say to you that if enough of us come out here before the violence starts, there'll be no need for violence. If enough people is willing to rush the door and don't just sit back and let the Indians rush that door by themselves, there'd be a whole lot of us be around when the smoke clears. Enough people have died. Enough people have gone to jail. All the dope pushers that's pushing dope across this country, I could get them busted in the morning if we could leave here and put messages out that they're Indians. That they're pushing dope to get enough money to win some cases to get their property back. They crush him in the morning. And so we got a big job. And you being here tonight is very important because we got government folks in here that got to send out a report and they got to count you right. They got to say, my God, they're coming out. What are we going to do? There's nothing they can do because this type of force they can't deal with. We came in here with hand grenades and dynamite and we're going to go and snatch somebody out of jail, they could handle that. They have a whole building surrounded. But it's important that you go back and tell the folks in the community not only what's happening, but let them know that we're not going to tolerate it. And if we snatch them and stop them from doing what they're fixing to do to our Indian brothers and sisters in a roundabout way, you'll stop them from doing what they're fixing to do to you. And so I say to you tonight, I'm just tickled to death to be here. I'm glad to see so many of you out. And I just say to you Indians that they got to go through that change, that it's a long, hard fight. They got everything slanted against you. I never will forget the first time I went to Disneyland in California. My kids have been going to Disneyland for 8 years. And one day I just was in California, so I just flew out to see them. And that was the last time they ever been to Disneyland in California, because I saw something so vicious. They had this kind of wax museum. And they got this Indian up on the horse with the bow and arrow, and they got the white settler laying down on the ground with the arrow in his chest. And I said to my wife, do you think this is an accident to this little place where kids, predominantly kids, come to Disneyland? Do you think this is an accident that the white settler is laying on the ground with the arrow in his chest and the Indians up on the horse? That's the way they want these kids to leave here, believing that Indians is murderers. And that the settler was the innocent victim. So somewhere down the line, we got to turn this thing around. And somewhere down the line, we can turn this thing around. And we're putting America on notice that we're going to turn it around. That this year, things are going to be different. And I can guarantee you personally, maybe I feel a little hard about it because I got 10 kids, and I look at my kids every now and then and wonder, you know, how my wife would react, how I would react if this government could send our kids to any school they wanted to, out of the state, across the country. And that's one vicious law that some of us intend to expose. And we might have to go back to jail again. But we go into the White House and sit in front of the White House and say to the president, we want you to get involved. We want you to pick up a pencil and sign an executive order and wipe that law off the books. If you don't do it, as we leave you today, we'll be talking to you, and there's going to be a lot of stuff we're involved with. Because of the critical food shortage starting the 21st of April, I intend to run from Los Angeles, California to New York City. We intend to average about 50 miles a day, and we should be in New York by the 4th of July. That's why I'm really kind of trying to get this foot together. We want to do that for two reasons. We want to dramatize the horrors that happen in this country, and we just want to put the world on alert that the bicentennial, the 4th of July birthday, we don't intend for it just to be fun and games. We don't intend for America just to sit up and lie about 200 years of progress. We want to talk about that 200 years of progress. Doubt at 44 years of age, not eating all that meat and all that food they say you have to eat to be healthy, we can run across this country at 44 years of age and get there on 4th of July, that we're going to share them cameras with them. And we're going to talk about 200 years of progress at the expense of a whole lot of people being dead, a whole lot of murder, a whole lot of viciousness. And if you look at it right, you'll find out that we have not progressed 200 years. And maybe if Americans will know the truth on this 200th birthday, maybe on the 400th birthday, 200 years from now, for the first time, we'll be able to talk about 200 years of progress. And as I leave you, I say to you that somewhere down the line, we got to find out who we are. And we got to quit getting into these ideology bags. Ideology, that can be second. But first, we got to understand that we're not black folks. We're not Indians. We're not Chicanos. We're not Puerto Ricans. We're not women. We're not men. We are human beings first. And once we can relate to that, once I become human, and Chicanos and Puerto Ricans and Indians come human, then what they do to my Indian brother, they do to me. What they do to my Indian sister, they do to me. And somewhere down the line, we got to understand that ideologies is okay when you can afford the luxury of that ideology. It ain't no communist sun and free democratic moon. And if it was, there'd be so many hassles going on. Some days the sun wouldn't come out. Some days the nights the moon wouldn't come out, because they'd be arguing somewhere in the background about which one has the best ideology. There is no communist way to pee, or no free democratic way to have a bowel movement. Nature controls all of that. I say to you, as we let nature move back into our life, and let nature flow through our bodies and take care of our bodies, and understand that this is the greatest temple you'll ever come in contact with. Now, you can go into all the more funny things this chumps build, bow and kneel down, go through all the more funny chants. If you can't respect this temple, the rest of them don't mean nothing. And once you learn to respect this temple, you will rise up and say to everybody else that not only will you respect my temple, but you respect the temple of every human being on this planet. We're going to see to that. But y'all got a big job, and we haven't got much time. But I believe we have got enough time to turn this thing around. As I leave you, I say to you, may peace be with you, my friends. Thank you. Thank you.